Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
With our scripture today, Luke chapter 9, verses 23 is where we're going to start. And I think you can find that on page 842 in your pew Bible, or Luke chapter 9, verse 23 in your own Bibles. And we're going to hear these familiar words. I invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel. Then he said to them, Jesus, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. But truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So baseball season's coming to a close for those of you still kind of following that. Football season has started at some levels and is about to start at the college level, which most people in our general geographic area are ecstatic about. And then the NFL will be starting a couple weeks after that, I believe. I don't follow it quite as close as I do college, but those things are coming. So we're going to look at getting in the game. And so it's great to see all the different team colors and all the things out there today. And it's fun. I told Stacy last night, if we keep coming up with cool themes, I might not have to wear a shirt and tie again until Advent. This has been a great summer, I'm telling you. Anna, you could have wore the costume last week. I'd have let you borrow it. But I found this week, and this was titled, If Worship Was More Like a Sporting Event, Ushers would sell tickets outside of the church building. There would be a concession stand outside the sanctuary. That'd be pretty cool, right? I mean, sermons would be more interesting with some popcorn and a hot dog. The pastors would each wear jerseys, which you could purchase at the merchandise stand when you leave. Now, that would be awesome. I would sell one jersey. Mom. Church members would do the wave during the liturgies. Longer lines at the bathroom. Probably pass on that one. Worship would be broken down into timed periods or quarters. Right? The end of the game. Don't be tapping your watch telling me fourth quarter. I don't care. Communion wine would be brought to you by a pew vendor. The organist would, or the pianist would, play Amazing Grace and take me out to the ball game. Live broadcast of all services would be covered on ESPN3. That's a website you can go to and watch games. A newer generation. The church would also keep score to show who was winning. People waited for autographs when the choir was done. The seventh inning stretch would take place after the sermon. The crowd would cheer every time scripture was read. And worship statistics would be reported in Monday's newspaper. Okay, those things are unlikely. They're sort of funny. But that's going to be kind of our focus. What's that? What? Penalties and timeouts. Yeah, some of y'all need a penalty and a timeout. I've been talking to your spouses. I know some things. But last week, I got the opportunity to go to Cincinnati and watch a former player of mine, Stephen Duggar, hence my attire today. I think I'm the only preacher in the history of preaching to preach in a Stephen Duggar jersey. Is that fair? I mean, they've only been out for a month, right? And I'm telling you, when I say it was a surreal experience, it's like watching one of your own kids. And let me preface by saying this. I taught him nothing about baseball. He was way too advanced for me my first year of coaching. I didn't teach him anything about baseball. I taught him some U.S. history. And I taught him about kind of being a teammate, but I didn't teach him one thing about baseball. So he's not where he is because of any influence I had on him. But it's like watching a child that you know kind of live out their dream. And so even in the upper deck, his first at bat, he gets a hit, and we're screaming and hollering, and I sent his mom a text message and says, y'all be quiet down there. She says, y'all be quiet. I can hear you in the upper deck. And he had a good weekend, statistically, for while we were there. But you want to know something? Us being there really didn't matter. His at-bats, when he stepped in that batter's box, it was him. We could cheer all we wanted and clap, and we could wear San Francisco stuff around all these Cincinnati people, and he was either going to get a hit or get out based on his ability and the ability of the people around him. Right? It didn't matter how loud his mama screamed or his former coaches clapped. He was out there by himself. When you go to your favorite football team in a couple weeks, some of you will start going to some games next Saturday, I believe. 80,000 people will forget that they are a Christian and holler and don't, it's true. And they will scream and they will holler and they would use words that they would never admit to using. So 22 people can beat each other up. And one team can win and one team can lose. And the fans, ultimately, yes, they can influence a game with the energy, just like the congregation influences worship. Not, I'm just letting you know that's what happens. The players are going to make the plays or not make the plays. And grown men and grown women are going to go home either happy or upset based on how 18-year-olds performed in a game. Right? It's crazy. But we get fanatical about it. We get radical. Some of y'all paint up. I think Danny does. I think Danny paints up. But people will do whatever they want to do, and ultimately, them being there isn't going to make a difference. A couple weeks ago, Stacy and I had the opportunity to go to Wrigley Field, and then we were watching a game together one Sunday night in bed, and I think, did they go in extra innings, bottom of the ninth, either way. Bases were loaded, and a guy who's been in the minor leagues most of the year came up to bat, and I looked at Stacy and said, he's going to hit a walk-off grand slam. He hit a walk-off grand slam. And so we sang the Chicago songs, and we high-fived. I said, I told you. A couple days ago, extra inning, same guy comes up to bat, and I said, he's going to hit another walk-off home run. Guess what he did? He struck out. I'm teasing. He hit a walk-off home run. You know who was responsible for that? Me. I predicted it twice. I had no impact over that at bat, did I? But as a fan, we get superstitious, we get proud, we get crazy about our teams. But there's a difference between the fans in the stands and those actually in the game. And so when we look at that in a church setting, we look at our fans, those who are fans of Jesus, and those who are true disciples of Jesus. You see, in our scripture lesson today, Jesus had quite a fan club built up. He had just fed 5,000 hungry people. They're following him around. He's got a huge fan club. And then he begins teaching in these hard ways. He says, but if you want to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself. Now, when I got married, I had to deny myself in ways I never thought I would. I had to stop folding towels the way I wanted to fold towels. Right? When you get kids or grandkids, you got to deny the things you want to do because they now are the priority. Denying is something that's very hard to do because it means putting ourselves second. And that's very hard to do, but it's what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to deny our own selves, just like he did when he went to the cross. He says to take up your cross daily. And for us, the cross is something that we wear as jewelry, or bracelets or things that we put up in our wall, pictures. We have them all over to just remind us of our faith. But to those that Jesus is talking to when he says, take up your cross daily, he's telling them basically, take up the way that the Romans kill us and carry it around with you. It would have been the biggest burden and the most uncomfortable thing you could have said to a Jewish man. But Jesus tells them they have to do it daily. And then he says, then you follow me. Because see, you cannot follow Jesus if you're not carrying a cross, because that's what he did. He carried a cross. So if we're going to follow in his footsteps, if we're going to be covered in the dust of our rabbi, which is what the disciples would often call themselves, they would have the dust of their teacher on them because they would follow him along these dirt roads. So if we're going to have the dirt or the dust of our teacher, our Savior, we've got to follow. In verse 24, he goes on and he says, for those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who want to lose their life for my sake will save it. You'll hear professional athletes and movie stars and all these famous people say, I chased after all the awards and all the dreams, and my life had to sacrifice. You'll hear people all the time in their Hall of Fame speeches apologizing to their kids that they weren't there because they were out chasing trophies and dreams. It's funny sometimes how we'll chase after things that will give us temporary pleasure, but we'll forfeit the things that will give us eternity. What does it profit them to gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves? Sadly, I hate to kind of admit this because I'm part of the problem. The church has lost its focus over the years. And let me explain what I mean by that. See, we've become, we as pastors and denominations, we've become so wrapped up in creating fans. We want so many people to enjoy our experiences that the pews are full because that looks good when we turn it in on paper. We've come so wrapped up in let's get people to church, which is a good thing. I want you here, trust me. I want you, but, and then we say, oh, they're here. Yeah. And we pat ourselves on the back and we take some time off. And then the attendance gets low. We got to get them back. Let's come up with a new creative way to get them back. And they come back. But our mission wasn't to create fans, was it? Our mission was to make disciples. And that's our mission here, is to become and make disciples of Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how many times I've hollered at a television, screamed at an official, or even stood on my bleachers and celebrated the victory against a rival team. And I've said things like, I wish they just hit the ball. Why did he take a sack? I wish she'd just make this free throw. Folks, don't y'all know they're trying? I mean, do you think any professional athlete gets up there and goes, I'm going to strike out. I'm going to show them. Bought my jersey and I'm going to strike out. They're trying. And here's what I wish some of them would say. I wish they'd walk up and hand the bat to some bozo like me and say, you give it a try. Oh, you want to not get tackled by that too? You think that felt good? That guy hurts. You stand here and let him tackle you. And then there are the fair weather fans. Y'all know those kind? Y'all know those kind. When you win and the stadium's full, when you're average, they're giving away tickets. I mean, you can't even buy them. They won't even charge you money. They'll just come on to the games. That way on television it looks better. And so I found this that I thought went with kind of how fair weather fans, and we can become fair weather fans of our faith and of our churches. It says 12 reasons I don't go to sporting events anymore. Number one, every time I went, they asked me for money. The people sitting in my row didn't seem very friendly. The seats are uncomfortable. The coach never came to ask my opinion. The referees made a decision I didn't like. I was sitting with hypocrites. I think they were only there to see what other people were wearing. Some games went into overtime and I was getting home too late. The band played songs I'd never heard before. The games are scheduled on my only day to sleep in and run my errands. My parents took me to too many games when I was growing up. Since I read a book on sports, I feel that I know more than the coaches anyway. And I don't want to take my children because I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best. Now, those are comical in a sports setting, but we've heard every single one of them in a church setting. Or I've said most of those. I'm going to be honest with you. I have said most of those, especially the part where the preacher goes over. But I want you to think for a minute that you're attending your favorite team's game. Now, let's just say football because it's coming up. And you're walking from your parking spot and you see the quarterback sitting at a tailgate. And he's eating hamburgers and hot dogs. I don't want to tell on y'all's tailgates. That's what I'm trying to be. And he's enjoying Gatorade. He libation, as the bishop would call it. Before the game. Now, how are you going to feel? Now, there's two. I think you're either going to join him and think that's really cool and take a picture and post it online. Or you're going to be like me and I'm going to be so upset because I came to watch you win because you signed up to play and I signed up and paid money to come yell at you or for you. But the quarterback, he signed up to be on the field. 80,000 people will gather to watch 22 kids, young men, play each other. 40,000 would gather to watch 18 play baseball against each other at any one time. And about 50,000 on average will gather to watch 10 players run up and down the court and shoot a ball into a hoop. And sadly, that resembles a lot of churches. 20% of the people, on average, do about 80% of the serving at church. But you see, each and every one of you, not each and every one of you, but the majority of you, let's say 97.4% of you, signed up to be in the game. When you got baptized, you made a profession of faith and you promised to be not just on the team, but in the game. When you joined, if you ever joined this church, you made a promise, a vow of your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. And then the rest of you said, me too. So one person or a family stood here somewhere in this general area and said, I'll get in the game as a part of this team. And the rest of you said, I'll be on the field with you. So now let's look at our little sheet that we gave out. I'm not going to read it all to you because you're intelligent people. But those are the areas that are not appointed by the charge conference in ways that you can serve here at this church. And I'm not going to read them all to you. Take it home. I don't even want you to volunteer for anything today off that sheet. I want you to take it home and pray. And just say, God, if there's something on this sheet, I want you to reveal it to me. And then in parentheses, is that what you call that? There's the contact person of who you could talk to get more information about how you can help. And if you just saw that you're a contact person and you're freaked out, just talk to me. We'll catch up together. But those are all the ways that we can serve. And some are here on Sunday, but most of them are not. You'll see one down towards the bottom called WAM. Welford Academy Ministries. Coming soon. It's like the next big movie. We're going to be doing so much at the elementary school right across the railroad tracks this year. Because it's crazy for us to think God didn't place that there on purpose. But the first thing that we're going to do, and this is the only opportunity I want you to be able to take advantage of today, is when you leave, Haley Moss, who is a teacher over there, is going to be in the lobby today with a sign-up sheet. Our goal is to pray every day for all 93 employees of that school. Not teachers, employees. So if you are willing to sign up for one or two individuals, or a group, or if your family wants to say, we'll do my child's in the third grade, so we'll do all third graders, teachers. We'll do all third grade teachers. She's going to have a list that you can write that down on. And we're going to see how close we can get. The other option is we can partner with other churches, but I think we can handle that on our own. So she's going to be out there with that. And we're going to see. We'll do that for a couple weeks and see. And then sometime in September, we hope to initiate that. And then all we're hoping to do is pray for every person that works in that building every single day and maybe send them a birthday card on their birthday. So Sunday school classes are going to adopt a grade level, and now we're going to open that up to the entire congregation to do so as well. So a man had two daughters who loved to come home from work, because when he opened the door, they came and they swarmed him. Greatest feeling in the entire world. It's to open the door and your little girl come running to give you a hug. And the first little girl, the oldest one, went and got and wrapped around daddy's legs so tight. And the second little girl was kind of sad, so dad picked her up and he hugged her. And this is what the oldest girl said. "Now I've got all of daddy," and smirked at her sister. And it says the younger one looked down and says, "You may have all of daddy, but daddy has all of me." So the real question today is, does your father have all of you? To the point where you are willing to deny yourself, carry your cross, follow him, and get in the game. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.